Hey everybody, Gavin Johnson here. Today is July the 5th, and this is your Daily Accelerator. It's been fun doing these with you guys. Today is my last one, so you'll have to enjoy the rest with somebody else, but I've enjoyed tracking through this section of Isaiah with y'all. Of course, I'll be studying with you guys till the end of the year in my own quiet times and through preaching for a little while longer. Today we read Isaiah chapters 24, 25, 26, parts of 32 and 35. And our editor of our Bibles has compiled together a number of prophecies that are known as Isaiah's Apocalypse. And if you read it today, you will understand why. It's a section that kind of capstones or is the grand finale of a number of the prophecies of judgment that God has brought about. But today's are a little bit different. I want to make five observations from what we read today in Isaiah's Apocalypse. First one is this. We are reading about a period of time that has not happened yet. All right, most of Isaiah's prophecies happen relatively shortly, maybe during his lifetime, a few hundred years after. But a number of his prophecies look forward into a period of time that hasn't even happened yet. We know that this hasn't happened yet because just in chapter 24, we see the word the earth seven different times. Isaiah is prophesying about a time when the whole earth is going to be destroyed, when God is going to come back and bring judgment against all sinners. And it's going to be a really scary, a really horrible time for the people on earth then. We also see in the language that this is for all people, except for God's people, as we'll see in just a second. But it says, for the priest will be the same as the people, and the master for the servant, the mistress and the maid. Saying it doesn't matter people's social status, their fame, their power, everyone's on the same playing field on this last day. And God is going to bring his judgment for the whole earth, for all people. That's observation number one. Observation number two is that in the middle of this judgment, it will give way to the establishment of God's righteous reign. Right in the middle of chapter 24, we see this verse where it says, they raise their voices, they shout for joy. From the west, they acclaim the Lord's majesty. And then that same theme picks up in the next chapter, chapter 25. O Lord, you are my God, I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done marvelous things. And so we see that there will be a remnant of people who on this last day will be rejoicing, that God is going to bring a final consummate salvation for those who are righteous, whom have trusted in Jesus. One observation in here is, don't you hear the book of Revelation just screaming out from the pages of Isaiah? Revelations chapter 19, 20, 21. We see them screaming from these pages. And that's one of the fun things about Project 4-4 is we get to wade through the whole Bible in years. We get to see the amazing unity. Hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, these pages were written, but they describe that same reality that we will face on that last day. We get an appreciation for the unity of the whole Bible. And so we read that we're looking at a period of time that hasn't happened yet. There will be the establishment of a righteous reign of Jesus as king. And the third one is this. I alluded to it just a second ago. In 26 verse 20, 26 verse 20 and following, he writes, go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by. It's important to note, he says, go, my people, enter your rooms. As God brings destruction on the earth, those alive at this point in time on the earth, it's important to know that those who are in Christ will not face the wrath of God. They will not face judgment. Jesus has already taken on the full wrath of God, the judgment for our sins if we are in Christ, and there is no double jeopardy with God. God will spare his people on this last day. Now, your theology and how you read the Bible, especially in the area of end times, will determine how you interpret that verse. Some might say, this is the idea that God is going to bring his chosen people away from the earth before this time of judgment, before this tribulation all throughout the earth. They might even refer to Jesus when he said in the New Testament, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms." And when he says, "Go into your rooms and shut your door," some would say, yeah, the righteous will already be taken from the earth, and they will go to their rooms, their heavenly rooms, their eternal rooms. Some would say, "Nah, that's reading into it a little bit too much." But what none of us can deny is that God will spare his people from this day of judgment on the last day. Fourth observation is this: God is proactive, not reactive. God is proactive, not reactive. And we get this idea from chapter 25, where he writes, "O Lord, you are my God." And he cries out, "I will exalt you and praise your name forever. In perfect faithfulness, you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago." And so we see the author Isaiah praising God for his judgment, and that this was God's plan A. It was never God's plan B. In creating the earth, he was able to foresee sin. He knew that we of our own free will would walk away from God, and that he would have to one day pour out his righteous judgment on some to bring a completion, a consummate ending to all things. And this is to his praise and to his glory. And this was never God's plan B. He was never surprised by the unfolding of human history, as we learned about a couple days ago. This was God's plan A. And so God is proactive, never reactive. And then finally, I want to make one more observation. I think it's an observation that gives us a lot of hope. And that is that there is going to be a resurrection, a physical resurrection from the dead. Resurrection of the faithful, we read in Isaiah chapter 26. It says, "But your dead will live, their bodies will rise, you who dwell in the dust. Wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead." What a promise, huh? What an assurance. It makes me think of 1 Corinthians 15, when the author cries out, he says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" It's like, if we are in Christ, we know that Jesus was victorious over sin and Satan. He was also victorious over death and the grave. And when we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we are among the righteous. God's righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, lives in us. We are counted among God's people. And there's a hope for us that we will raise from the dead, physically in physical bodies, to experience the new heavens and the new earth, where the presence of sin will be wiped away, where there will be no more tears, no more mourning, no more grieving, no more pain, no more violence. Revelation tells us, and Isaiah does today as well. And the main application for us is, look, we need to think a lot about the life to come. God reminds us of the hope that we have, not just in this life, but the life to come in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He does it for a reason. He wants us to remember. He wants us to be mindful. He wants us to not get caught up in the affairs of this life to a point that it cripples us. He wants to keep our perspective on eternity. He wants to keep us focused on things that last forever. And application for today is, think about eternity. We can taunt death. We can stare it in the face. It has no power over us. We can live our lives not for what we can achieve in this earth, but to position ourselves for eternity, to live in light of eternity, to invite other people to share in the joy and the hope that we have in eternity. So pretty fun, maybe an unexpected passage for you today, to think so much about heaven and God's coming righteous reign today in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. But what an encouragement it is to us. Hey, thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for trekking through Project 4-4. I hope that God is sharpening not only your Bible knowledge, but your love for him and the joy that he has in your life. Hey, take care, and we'll see you around.